Okay, recording has started. I have a quick transcriber check just to see if it's working.
Works for you. I'll just try myself and remind you that it's interop day. Oh, you know that. Excellent. And my transcription doesn't work. Great.
Okay. Tomorrow or a day that's not a normal day for this, so we don't get messed up with the recording of the audio and transcription. Maybe we can hop on a meeting and see if we can troubleshoot what's going on with why the transcriber doesn't work for you. I'm happy to do that, whatever you want.
Certainly not now. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Okay. Yeah,
or let's just be mindful about not remembering to write stuff in chat.
Yes, I'll try to.
Okay, so quick IP note for the beginning of the call. Anyone can participate in these calls. However, all substantive contributors to any CCG work items must be members of the CCG with full IPR agreement signed. Information about and links to the required license agreements can be found in the meeting agenda. As Nis mentioned, the topic this week is Trace Interop. So we can go ahead and get right into PRs. I'm going to sort these with oldest first. A link is in the chat. And the first PR here is number 353. I think most of these are mine, so I'll just dive straight into them. This one is to make some modifications that were recommended by NIST to the documentation for meeting note updates, specifically an explicit instruction to commit the new group.txt file. And I think there are some minor typos and some corrections from Ted in there as well. This has approvals from 3 out of 4 co-owners plus Ted. Are there any objections to merging this documentation update?
Go for it.
Okay, I'm merging it now. And 353 has been merged. The next PR. Oops, excuse me, I just lost my list. Next one is 355. This one is mine as well. And this is one of two PRs that is in place to update the request body for OAuth 2 token requests. We were using raw JSON encoding, but the official RFC 6749 specifies that this should be application X www form URL encoded request body. So this PR updates the requests for the conformance tests. Any objections to merging this PR? Okay, I'm merging now. Next PR is the second of these two. It is number 357. And this is similar, but it modifies a number of requests, because this is for the tutorials, and we have, I think, 7 or 8 different Postman files, but it is the same modification. In addition, this also adds the required scopes to each of those auth token requests, because each one requires different scopes, obviously. So this includes that, and that is for issue 356. Are there any objections to merging this modification to the tutorial Postman scripts?
No objections, but noting that this is not widely implemented and typically gets ignored, this is something I looked into, and it seems to be, more often than not, the requested scopes at grant time are ignored. And you get what the application has been pre-assigned.
Agreed. I believe that with Auth0, they take the stance that if you are doing machine-to-machine authentication, you should have all of the possible grants that are granted to that ID, and they just give them all to you.
That's right.
But it's if you want different behavior, you need to write one of their hooks in order to do that. Other implementers don't do that, or maybe they do it by default, but they will also grant specific scopes when you request them. And the reason that we're even doing this at all is so that we can have negative testing for tokens which don't contain the correct scope. If that makes sense.
That last part, would you mind elaborating on that?
So we want, we have defined in the OpenAPI spec that certain scopes are required in order to access the various endpoints.
Yep.
In order to do negative testing, we need to be able to obtain tokens that do not contain those scopes.
Oh. But then I could see that being, that wouldn't work with auth zero. Is that what you're saying?
It does if you implement a hook on the auth zero side so that it only grants the tokens that were requested. And I'm happy to discuss that with you offline. And in the grand scheme of things, if someone doesn't do that, the only thing that's going to fail is a negative testing for that conformance bit, because it's not possible to test that. But all the interop tests will still work. The rest of the conformance testing will still work.
Let me just be blunt here. Are you guys also using auth zero? Are we having the same problem?
We are also using auth zero, and I have implemented the correct hook, which I'm happy to share with you.
There you go. I would love that. That's great. Yep. Let's go ahead with this.
Okay. I'll merge this, but touch base with me offline and I'll go over that.
Yeah. And I'm not against this. It is the correct way, and I wish auth zero would just listen to what gets requested from them.
Is this the default thing that are you currently passing this, Chris? The negative testing?
Our production implementation, I am not positive, but the implementation I'm working on that will be rolling out soon, yes.
Okay, fair enough.
Right now, I think almost.
I don't think we're passing either. We're not. I believe our end, we're giving you, I don't even think we're giving you the custom scope. I think we're giving you everything, right? So I think that's a very fair point. And I think as long as the tests are valid, I'm happy to fail them until we pass them. I think that's where we're all standing. So yeah.
Yep. Okay. So that was 357.
But I guess that was kind of where I was coming from, Mahmoud, is whether RFC 6749 is a valid test. That I might question that, but let's push ahead and see if we can and get it working. But it's just if we face obstacles, I think we could scale back from that being a requirement to pass a conformance test.
Is there any? I mean, the question is, if my implementation is only supposed to ever have create credentials or read credentials or whatever, how can we test without only giving them that, permission, right? And so I think that's a very valid point that Chris was making, right? And I get what you're saying, which is if it's a huge headache, maybe it's not worth it.
Yes.
But are there ever opportunities where you see yourself providing a small subset of those credentials and not all those, those scopes and not all of those scopes? And I think the answer to that is yes, right?
I believe
otherwise there's no point in having scopes at all, right?
We're just bingo. Exactly.
Right? So if the answer is yes, we need a way to test that.
Yeah. Well, what you could do is make separate applications with different scopes. Mm-hmm. I know what I'm saying here. That's huge amount of work, but
worst case scenario, I think that's a thing.
I will just post this message to just say that I voiced it for the record, but we're totally on the same page. We'll make it work.
Awesome. Thank you.
And let's merge this. Totally pro merging.
And that is merged. Next PR is one, and this one comes from Isaac Byrne. and what he has done in this, I don't believe he's on the call today. So I'll just go over this. He has modified the Postman tests for credentials issue such that the request body contains, an issuance date that corresponds to the current time so that they can differentiate between various stored credentials and understand, which one of them may have caused a test failure if they have to go back and look at them. I believe that's the effect of the comment that you made, Ben. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. So this is a fairly straightforward change. It just makes use of some Postman predefined variables. There are a number of modifications that I requested, which have all been integrated. And we have approvals from all but two code owners. Does anyone object to merging pull request 361?
GitHub objects.
It does indeed object. Okay.
Should we allow Isaac to merge once or ping when
I'll ping him and just say it can be merged once the conflict has been addressed.
Perfect.
All right. I agree with that. The last PR is 362. And this PR is part of the implementation of issue number 199, which is related to storing historical runs of our integration and, interoperability and conformance testing. So what I've done here is taken some input from Ted regarding the format of historical reports. So nightly, whenever our reports are published, I publish them to the current location and also a second location that is a folder which contains the type of report, either interoperability or conformance, a hyphen, and then a Unix timestamp so that each time this is run, we have the archive available to go back to. Now, what this PR does not implement is any sort of browsable index into that content. So that is something that still needs to be created in order to close 199. So this is just a partial fix for that.
So this builds up the data and then we'll draw the beautiful charts later.
Precisely. Well, this stores the beautiful charts that we normally create nightly. You just have each one of them unless you manually go in. But yeah.
Love it.
So I have approvals from 2 of 4. And does anyone object to merging this test functionality? Ted, I apologize. I just saw your comment. Can you elaborate what you mean?
Yeah, I'm just wondering if instead of basically a serial number for the timestamp, that it could be a human readable parsable, you know, year, month, day, and time to whatever degree.
I would counter that with this is never going to be human readable, but I would 100% suggest that when we generate the index file, we parse that into a datetime that is human readable.
I suppose that's reasonable since that's the way we'll mostly be interacting with it. Sure. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point, and I think that would probably be the best way to implement that.
So after merging, we should start saying the first one tonight or tomorrow morning?
Yes. Tonight when it runs, you should see an additional folder that published to GitHub pages. So instead of just a single commit, there'll be two. One of them will contain an entirely new folder. The other one will overwrite the, you know, quote unquote latest version.
Sounds great.
All right. Merging 362. And that is complete. Leave until we see 361 resolved. That is the last PR for interop. So let's hop over to Trace of OCAB PRs. I see that we have 7 PRs here, one of which is merge first. So let me just get the link for oldest to newest first. It's available in chat. And let's begin with 535, which is tag merge first. Mahmoud, do you want to introduce this one for us?
Sure. This is a PR that Rad opened 2 weeks ago, maybe. The issue was that the only reason we didn't merge it was there was a huge number of merge conflicts, and it just required a rebase. For whatever reason, whenever he rebased it on his branch, it just would not work. So I just redid that, right? What the PR does is it just changes the organization name object to a name object to make it more generic. And it updates it everywhere organization is used. So any PR that we will use, that we will try to merge today that will use organization will probably need a change to switch from organization name to name. I think I highlighted the one that I saw, but if there's anything else, then we'll have to be on the lookout for that.
Okay. Does anyone object to merging in this PR? Given that we, I think, agreed to this prior to the conflicts, it's probably okay, but speak now. Forever hold your peace.
Quick question. I'm surprised why there are some proofs that are re-signed.
I had to regenerate all the credentials because otherwise all of the it wouldn't pass the
you also changed the term, right?
I had to change the term.
I remember that. I don't see it now, but I remember that from last time. That explains it. Thank you.
Yeah. And unfortunately, it's 80 files and there's really nothing I could do about that. Organization is everywhere, unfortunately. So. Yeah.
Okay. Merging 535. And that is merged. So now let us return to the normal order of things, which puts 525 at the top. Vivian, this one looks like yours. Would you like to introduce it, please?
Yeah. So 525, that's for, that's adding, I guess, schema for, delivery schedule, which is what's meant to represent the plan for transportation of like commodity across borders.
Okay. I see that we have a bunch of approvals and we actually held this one over from last week specifically so people could have a chance to look at it. And there don't appear to be any objections. If no one on the call today objects, I will go ahead and merge 525. Merging now. And that is merged. Next PR is 529. This one is also yours, Vivian.
Yeah, so last week, Cole, one of the issues that we went through, there was like a batch number description. It's not aligned across different files, and this PR is just fixing the description for batch numbers.
Okay, this one looks very straightforward. We have 2 of 4 approvals. Does anyone object to merging 529? Merging now. And that is merged. The next PR we have is 538. Benjamin, this one is yours. Would you like to intro it, please?
Sure. This is just a very small change for the regenerate script. It assumes that currently assumes the credentials in a fixed position from where the script is being called, but that's not necessarily where the current working directory is when calling it. So I added a small change to resolve the path so it can able find the credentials even when it's not called directly in the in the directory that's declared it.
Got it. This one also has 2 of 4 approvals. Does anyone object to merging or request 538?
Quick question, Ben. I still need to run NPMI to update the context, right?
Yeah, this is kind of a precursor to adding it into the NPMI thing, is that now it should be able to run from the root directory, so we can probably update package.json to...
Oh, that's nice. Now I understand. I love that. It's really annoying that you have to switch back and forth between the folders. I hugely approve this. Thank you.
This is just a small... I think I could have actually probably included that in this PR, but just one step at a time.
So. No. I love it. I only now realize what it's actually, the problem it's actually solving. So that's really good.
All right. Great. So I will merge that now. It's merged. The next is 539, which is in draft. Ben, would you like to discuss this one today?
It's a draft, and the CI is also failing, but I will go ahead and describe the current work in progress. So right now we have a script called OPN API to consec.js, and what that's doing is it's taking all the schemas and it's building the traceability v1.jsonlt file, which is being used when as a reference when credentials are signed. And if you look at the file currently, it's about 10 lines of code that calls an external library. So it's taking this function from the external library and it's declaring it directly inside the script so that we can edit it, view it, and change it as we need to. As far as work on this goes, is I managed to get the script working and declaring the context file, but for some reason when I try to actually sign credentials with the context, it's not working. And I think that has to do with something with the way the context file is structured. It's not good enough that everything is there. I think version and vocab need to be at the very top of the resulting JSON file or something. So a few more tweaks to make on this. And after that, hopefully we can do things like some of the one of JSON schema issues that are in the issues. So this is also just a precursor to addressing this.
Got it. Okay. That sounds like it'll be helpful to be able to modify that bit of code. Okay. The next PR is 540, which looks like we've got some conflicts.
Yeah.
But Miss, would you like to comment on what this
one
is?
I naively thought that it would actually pass, but what I haven't checked, but I think it's probably the proofs, from the one before. 535. I think that's what causes the conflict. But actually, it's coincidentally, I do believe that some of those errors that Ben's screenshots were just pointing out are fixed here. Some of these specific terms, this is all about linked data terms, getting those fixed. In particular, I'd used the same definition for two different IDF classes, I think theoretically you should be allowed to do that, but in practice the script does not allow it. So one of them just simply never showed up in the context. So that explains a bunch of the linked data errors that we're seeing. In particular, consignment item, which is used on a lot of different types of bill of ladings. So it fixes that. It fixes some general typos and just fixes up a lot of the LD terms. So housekeeping and cleanup.
Okay.
As a kind of side note, to add on to Miss's thing, when I was going through the script, I kind of realized that term might not be something that we need to declare in our YAML files, because the term is always going to be the same as the property name. And so all this does is allow for bugs to pop up, and it doesn't actually provide any functionality. So just a quick note on that.
Absolutely. Yes, I would, you know, these would have fixed themselves if we didn't have that, that unnecessary cost or source of bugs. So plus one on that.
Do we feel like we need to create an issue to remove those?
I think, once we update, I can remove right now the current, context file is being generated, from the library, and it depends on term being there. And when I update the script, I can update the script in a way that it doesn't use term. So I could probably go ahead and make it obsolete, by updating the script to do that, have that functionality directly. And then we can have a issue that says term is no longer needed. Do we want to remove them?
Makes sense. Okay. Do we feel like this is something, back to 540 now, if this is something that we can merge once conflicts are fixed, or would folks like to see this, again? To comment.
I, you know, just from my side, it's rather in my humble opinion.
Sorry, I didn't hear you.
This is rather uncontroversial. It's just fixing my own bugs. So that's really all it is.
Yeah, I agree with that assessment. Does anyone else disagree? Otherwise, we can merge this once conflicts are fixed.
Yeah, I guess just make a note confirming that merge on once conflict has been addressed.
I suspect I'll run regenerate and that's it.
Okay, I've added a comment. Let's carry on. That was 540. The next one is pull request 541.
Yeah.
This one also has some conflicts.
Yeah.
This was
my naive. I knew this was touching organization. So I naively thought if I pull this out into a PR of its own, the rest will probably pass. And what I didn't see coming was all those signatures or proofs. So yeah, this is the same thing, just I separated it out for that reason, but unsuccessfully.
Okay.
It's the same thing. It's fixing a term.
Yeah, I would say same thing. Merge once the conflict has been addressed.
Okay, I will create a comment to that effect. Done. Okay, I believe that is it for pull requests. And we are little over halfway through. Are there any specific issues that folks want to ensure get addressed today before we dive into the trace interop issues? If not, I will sort by recently updated. Here's the list. First issue is issue 199. Just discussed a PR that addresses part of this. PR addresses the storing of the historical data, but not the actual index. I will add a comment here.
I would assume we could close this.
Not yet. We actually need to produce an index that's browsable so folks can actually view this data.
But I don't want to be pedantic, but it says a place to store test results, and that's what the PR did.
Okay, I see your point. In that case, we need to create a new issue.
Yeah, I mean, again, I'm not that guy.
I am all for reducing complexity and reducing scope of each issue. So I will happily close this and create a new issue after the call.
Okay.
So I've closed 199. The next issue is a perennial favorite, number 39. This is related to selective disclosure credentials. And it is externally blocked and has been for quite some time. Does anyone have any updates regarding information that we were hoping for out of IETF?
Nope.
Okay. I will add a comment that this is still blocked. The next issue is number 87. This one has also been around for quite some time. And on the last call, we added pending close, actually several calls ago. We were waiting for Ori to agree to closing, which he did 2 weeks ago. So unless anyone objects, I think that the proper action here is to close this.
I agree.
Okay, closing number 87. The next issue is number 100, which is a similar status. We added pending close to this issue 2 weeks ago. Ori confirmed after we asked him if he was ready to close. I believe that we should close this one as well, unless anyone has an objection. Okay, closing 100. The next issue is 330.
Sorry, just a quick, did we add it to the README? So part of the issue was to put a link to the collection in the README, right?
If I remember correctly, that was added, by Khalid. That's correct?
Yeah.
I think he did, I just want to double check. Okay, fair enough.
Tutorials, right?
Yeah, he definitely added something to the head of each tutorial.
Yeah.
How you could download and install the collection instead of going through the tutorial.
Yeah. I mean, it would still be nice to see a list somewhere higher up, but it's...
I think the main README needs a link to the collection. I think, unless I'm missing it.
No, you're not. I don't disagree, and I even think I have. I'm saying I'd love to see these listed, but...
Yeah. Would it then be possible to do something similar here and create a new ticket for that specific issue?
I think yep.
We've quite far from hosted Postman collections.
Happy to.
Awesome. Thank you. Okay, the next one is 330. This is a question that I added, and this is whether or not the settable options for the credential issuer endpoint should still include credential status. The reason I ask this is because I noticed there's some discussion in the VC API repo regarding possibly removing those. I have not myself implemented the credentials revocation functionality, so I'm not 100% clear on exactly how that works and whether or not this information is required in the credential issue request. So if anyone has some more insight into that, I think that would be appreciated. Has nobody implemented credential revocation?
We have implemented it, and I believe Transmute has, and I think you guys have as well, if I remember correctly. I'm just trying to see specifically what their proposal for removing credential status is. I think I missed that bit. So the way prior to the option of removing credential status, the way it works is you look at the verifiable credential, you look at the credential status of it. In the credential status, it will have a link to a revocation list. You would check that list. When you read that list, you will find your credential ID and you will check if it's a binary 0 or 1 for revoked, not revoked, right? I may be reversing those. But the point is that you would check the credential object. I believe what they were saying is because the issuer is the entity that owns the credential. Well, actually, I don't know how you would go about removing credential status check. So I haven't actually read the thread. So I can't give more insight.
Got it. So I think specifically what they're saying is when you go to issue a credential, there's the credential object and then there's the options object.
Oh.
And inside the options object is a credential status sub-object. And the specific comment I linked to was talking about removing that. That's the one that contains domain and challenge. And I think proof data, if I'm not mistaken, but I forget.
What?
Fair enough. So maybe you don't, do you need credential status when you issue a credential, right? In the credential issue request is the question, right? And they're saying,
I think that's better. Yeah. So I don't know the answer to this. I don't have a proposal because I don't have enough information to make one. But I would like that information if anyone has it. I'm happy to let this one sit if folks want to noodle on it and come back to it over the week.
I think we should. I'll try and find out what the actual proposal is on the other side. It doesn't look like they have anything concrete.
What if we, if this gets removed, how would you indicate that you want it revocable? Would you just assume?
It would be up to the issuer, I suppose. Where the issuer would say, I can issue all my credentials to be revocable, I can issue them to not be revocable, I decide, versus the person requesting it deciding. But I haven't really thought through what that means. Yep.
I've also seen places where credential status is part of the credential and not part of the options. And apologies, I don't remember where I saw that.
Oh.
Or if that's
I have seen that as well, but that's true. You would have to go ahead and modify the credential object itself, right?
Indeed, yes.
And I don't think we do that for, well, I mean, I guess we do that for the issuer part and the issuance state and all that stuff, so I don't think that's breaking the model in any way.
Yeah. So Ben, this is a verifiable credential that's already been issued, right?
Not issued yet. This is from the API did actor, and this is just a reminder of myself for looking at the credential status.
Got it. Okay. So, I think
in terms of the issue specifically, if the VC API doesn't have anything concrete, like I'd be more than happy to be reactive on this and, like, once they decide, we can adjust and pull it from there.
I'm plus one to that. I think it's okay as is, and I think I can see how it could be cleaner if it's part of the credential itself to include the credential status. But it's also a bit weird because the revocation list credential index, all that stuff, should be provided from the issuer itself, not from the person requesting the credential.
I think I can speak to a little bit of maybe what the background is behind that. Is I think they're trying to address the phone problem, which Ori mentioned to me before, is if the issuer defines if the revocation index is zero, then every time they know that someone, requests for the index zero to be verified, that they know that, this specific index is being, asked for, and they can, like, oh, someone is checking to see if my college, my college verification is like, okay, well, I sent my resume out to four companies, so I know one of those four companies is now looking at my, at my college, credential that I sent them. And so that kind of tells people, it gives people information, it gives the verifier or the issuer information on who's coming to verify their credentials, and this is, I guess that's described as a phone home problem. So I guess by trying to remove that, they might be trying to remove the address that by having the index.
This doesn't touch that.
Okay,
right?
Then forget what I just said.
Because if the issuer is the one, as long as the issuer is the one that determines what the index is, which it should, right? Because nobody else knows, nobody else can issue their revocation list credential, which means nobody else can know what are the free slots in the revocation list credential. So nobody else can assign a new credential slot to the one that they're about to issue. So there will, that will always be part of it. I think the spec itself has another remedy for the home phone home problem. And I cannot remember off the top of my head right now. But I do not believe it's this. I think this is just a, hey, why do we have the same thing twice? Kind of point.
Okay.
I'm also going to link the specific bit of OpenAPI that I'm talking about, which does not have revocation list or revocation list index or any of that. It only contains type, and you can only specify revocation list 2020 status, and that's it.
Yeah, that should be the, when you want to issue, that should be what you provide, which is, hey, can you provide me with a revocation list 2020 credential? Or I don't care what you do, if it's revocable or not, right? Because you can't say, please issue me this credential at this index, because somebody else could have it, right?
Right. Okay.
I'm kind of skeptical about this suggestion to change this. I think keeping this an option makes sense from a usability perspective. If you like, our customers will be calling an endpoint, and this is a matter of what do we expect? How much involvement do we expect from them? Is this a declarative thing, please make this revocable, or is this an active participation in building the revocability credential? I think the former is better. It's certainly more user-friendly, and I don't see any, I don't quite agree. Cleaner is, you can make an argument that it's cleaner without an option, but I don't think it's a good enough argument, and I don't think clean is what we should be going for here. I think usability is an argument to keep it as is, would be my thoughts on this. But I haven't read the thread on VCAPI, so I might be overlooking something. Does that make sense, what I'm saying?
I do think it makes sense, and I also think it makes sense to have this in the request. I think I should probably reword the issue to what, should this be an option or should this be part of the credential?
I'll make a comment also. I did send.
I'm going through the thread right now and I don't see anything about revocation. The only thing I see is a single word about how you check for revocation, but I don't think that has anything to do with the options. So unless I'm reading something wrong, I don't see where they're saying we want to remove credential status.
So if you click on the link that I have in the body of the issue, there's a comment from Manu on 21 July, and in it, third paragraph from the bottom, he says, need for PR. Remove challenge, domain, and credential status from the list of settable options for the credentials issue service endpoint.
Okay, I see.
And really, that's it. It's a,
yeah. That's the point. That's the question, right? Like removing challenge and domain is very straightforward, and I can it's just a mistake that it's there. I don't see credential status, but you're fair. That's right. I'll try and bring it up on the VC API call today, and we could maybe move this forward.
That would be awesome. Thank you. So I think we can let this one sit until next time, and move on to issue 333, unless anyone else would like to comment. So issue 333, this is another question that I have added, and this is whether or not the type property of credential and presentation should allow a bare string in addition to an array of strings. The reason that I'm even thinking about this is because I'm writing some code that uses the Hyperledger Aries framework Go to deal with credentials. And one of the things they do is normalize that value to a single string if all it is an array of one string. And I went through a couple of examples that I could find, and many places indicate this should be an array of strings, but then there are some that, for example, the VC implementation guide has examples with just a bare string. So Mahmoud brought up the point that if we allow both here, this does increase, it makes it easier to interop here. So I put the question to the group, should we allow a single string for type for credential and presentation? Perhaps a more appropriate question is, does anyone on the call today object to modifying this OpenAPI spec to allow a single string in this instance?
I don't object, but it was discussed rather heatedly that it was much more difficult to look for string or array of string than it is to just deal with an array that has a single string in it.
Okay.
I don't have a feeling on this because I don't code, so I don't know how much difficult it is.
I mean, I have a very narrow view on this with a counterpoint that says the library I'm using does all that for me. I realize I'm not the only case here. Just to suggest that there is a counterpoint there. Do you remember where that was discussed, Ed? I'd be interested in reading those notes.
Oh, I wish. No, I have no idea where it was. I don't even know if it was this repo versus vocab versus another one entirely.
Got it.
In terms of coding, I don't mind a string or an array of strings, but in terms of data modeling, I prefer to avoid that kind of thing. If you have an array type, you know, that would be better solved with an array with a single string in it.
I believe there's also comments on the verifiable credential working group about trying to remove that for example, the issuer object, where they're trying to say, let's stick with just a full issuer object than having an issuer versus string option. Mm-hmm. It makes it a lot easier for people to write validation because you'd only have to validate against a direct object or against a direct string.
I'm very torn.
Yeah.
Yeah, the issuer one, I would definitely prefer object or string or that to be standardized because you have to be like, oh, if it's an object, check for ID. If it's not an object, check for the string. And that's issuer being an object versus a string is definitely very annoying. That being standardized would definitely be awesome.
Well, I mean, I'm happy to go either way here. If we want to make this, be required to be an array.
Last week we merged on the trace vocab side. We kind of moved towards making that simpler, which is, I think, maybe Ben, what you were mentioning before.
We all kind of liked
the simplicity of that. I don't know if it's an argument here, but it seems to be going in the other direction from
generally agree, Ness. The only issue is that this is a huge interrupt point where there's like the type field specifically, so many people use it and they all use it in both ways and the spec itself says they're both okay. So if we open it up, this may just open interrupt opportunities for a bit, like a much wider audience.
Yeah.
An argument I guess that is, sorry, is just let somebody bring it up and we can, you know, if somebody has a problem with it, they can just bring it up and then we can tackle it then. But yeah, sorry, Ben.
Just to kind of, I'm musing about the data modeling side. I didn't address the interop side, and you know, if it's an interop issue, then you know, data modeling woes aside, then you know, it's unfortunate that we should probably support it.
Yeah, I plus one that comment also, Mahmoud.
Okay, then. If that's the case, I will change this to ready to PR, and I'll assign it to myself. And that's time for us today.
Oh, yeah.
Would anyone like to volunteer to submit the meeting minutes? Has anyone not submitted the meeting minutes yet? Everyone should do that at least once.
It's very fun and straightforward.
Okay. All right. If there's no volunteers, I will happily.
No, Chris, you can't. I think let's make it a rule that you can't both run the meeting and submit the minutes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or I would kind of counter to say that, you know, potentially if we kind of round robin who chairs the meeting, then we could do, or, you know, we could kind of set up a schedule to, to kind of know in advance, and then, you know, that way we can avoid having to discuss this on the call kind of thing.
Yeah, that works for me too. Then people will come on time because they're not worried about having to start the meeting.
Yeah.
The only issue I have, though, is that a lot of us just randomly don't show up. But, okay, I think let's try that. I'm happy to try a schedule and see if it works.
All right, so Chris, decide who uploads the meeting notes.
I'm happy to do it today, and going forward, whoever runs the meeting should upload the meeting notes.
Okay. So out of meanness, Mumu, are you going to be on the next call?
I will do my best, and if I'm there, I'll host.
Okay.
Call I'm here, I'm happy to host. I believe.
Okay. So wait, the next week, are you planning on being here?
90% chance yes, but I've had like really bad conflicts recently. That's the only reason I haven't been. It looks okay. Like a yes. So.
All right. I will go ahead and say if Mumu doesn't show up, I will be the backup host. And,
excellent.
I guess that works.
Yeah. I think that's the best way to go forward about it.
All right. Sounds great. Thanks, everyone. And just a point before I forget, we ran into this last week when Nis and I were working on the notes. The full audio doesn't often populate for quite some time. So if you happen to notice that the audio is only 6 minutes long, give it an hour.
Okay, that's good to know.
Okay. All right. Well,
thank you, everyone.
See everyone next week.
All right. See you. Bye.